And he said it was going to get rotten before it came. Apparently, he knew what he was talking about. So if he comes quickly, the rotten time will be shorter. I think that's how the Bible ends, isn't it? The Spirit and the bride say, come quickly. Come quickly, Mashiach. But in the meantime, we will worship and praise in Messiah. There really is nothing that can come against you. Your physical body maybe, but you lose those anyway. So in Messiah, everything is good. Tov Ma'od, very good. So stay in Messiah. You got the blood of the Lamb, and you overcome by the word of your testimony. And we are in Shemot Tesha Esrei Hamesh. Exodus 19:5, I think, is where we left off with Moses' adventures, Moshe. And we had some fun with that, didn't we? With the wings of eagles last week. Eagles' wings. And we saw that wings and corners, same word. Then we went to Malachi, and the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his corners. And so the woman with the issue of blood touched the zit, which represents the word, which Yeshua's name is the word, and she got healed. Amen. Okay, so in verse 5, though, we're starting this whole new picture, and I started to mention that. We have a whole new picture in God's plan here coming out now. And it says, if you listen, obey, keep, guard my covenant, then you will become my treasure, and you will become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to say to Israel. Amazing, but why is I saying that this is a new picture here in Exodus? Is because there is new language here, because there is a new covenant in view. Not the new covenant, but a different covenant in view. So the language changes and the covenant changes, okay? And so we are coming to the introduction of the Mosaic covenant, or Moshe covenant, Moses covenant. So now Hashem has already called them his firstborn son in Egypt and his chosen people in Egypt, right? And the language there is unconditional. It cannot be undone. As I mentioned last week, you cannot unbecome the son of God, the firstborn son. You cannot unbecome his chosen people or his chosen nation, right? And so that's unconditional Abrahamic covenant language. But now we come to this, if you listen, obey, keep, guard all of these commandments, then you will become this nation of priests. So this is a little different now. This treasure and kingdom of priests and a holy nation now is conditional. It is if they hear, obey, guard, keep the law, which is about to be given them on Sinai here. Okay, so we're at the mountain. So, and I love in verse 5, if you read it in the Hebrew, the Shema word is twice. And translated, it's in listening if you hear, or in hearing if you listen, is how it really should be translated. So you have a double on the Shema. And this is the theology in Hebrew, is hearing is not listening unless you obey it. So if you hear the law and don't keep it, you have heard it, but you haven't listened. If you see my point here, you got a double here, which is good. Amen. Because a lot of people hear things and it goes, what is the saying? It goes one in one ear and out the other. Yeah, I know about that. That happened to me in elementary school, I remember. But now in Israel, keeping the law, it has its ups and downs through history. Y'all know that, right? Now, they said, yes, your law is good, and we will keep it all. Now, see, that wasn't really probably the smartest thing to say. Now, if I'd have been there, I'd have said, your law is holy and true and good, and there ain't any chance. There's no chance I can keep it. So Israel is not going to be able to keep the law. No man has ever been able to keep the law. But if they do, they would become a priest nation to the whole world, okay? Now, Israel did keep these things in part, and they will keep them fully in the millennium. But in part, they did become a holy nation to the world, a nation of priests to the world. Why? Because they brought forth the entire Bible, the whole Tanakh, Berit HaShem, and they brought forth, what did they bring forth? All of our theology. What came from Israel? Blood atonement. What did Israel give to us? Messiah himself. And so this has this calling here at Sinai. It wasn't just deleted because they sinned, but it was just in part. And so we have some of that, but not in the fullness, but it will be. Okay? When Chaim has told us, when the temple is rebuilt and the priesthood is up and going, this kingdom of priests, we will see this on Fox News in our time. And that will be the beginning of the fulfillment of it in a full way as we go into the millennium. But everything of God came through Israel because they are the chosen, they are the treasure, they are the holy nation, they are the kingdom of priests. And so we will see this more and more as the day of the Lord comes. And then after the Lord comes, it will be fully shown and manifest. Okay? But when these animal sacrifices start, boy, oh boy, isn't that going to be something as blood atonement is restored to the world on TV. Oh, hallelujah. And then what happens after blood atonement is restored to Israel with the temple sacrifices? Then the sacrifice himself will come. And boy, what a day. What a day. But now we have some difficult theology I got to throw out here because, you know, I do theology. If Israel is the holy nation, what is Peter talking about in 1 Peter 2? When he's talking to the church and says, you are now, and he quotes these verses to the congregation of Messiah. And so this is used by the church to teach replacement theology, the verses in Shimon, Peter. And so I have to make a point on this. First of all, the letter, 1 Peter, is most likely written to Jewish believers. Secondly, the whole context in verse 4 through 11, if you look at it, is Jewish. He's quoting the stone the builders rejected. That is entirely a Jewish context because the church was not enacted yet, and especially not the Goyim. The builders there are the Jewish leaders before Messiah dies. And so he's talking about that, and then he quotes also Hosea 1, which is entirely a Jewish context about God's dealing with Israel in their lack of repentance and sin and then repentance and back and forth. But the Jewish believers are the context because the Goyim have not come into the picture yet. And then the Hosea 1, you are not my people, all me, and that those verses which you know about, this is Israel only. So the context is most likely to Jewish believers primarily, but it is spoken to the church, okay? It is spoken to the church, even if it is the Jewish portion of the church, the messianic part. So people using this for replacement theology are ignoring all the other verses that don't allow for that heresy. Replacement theology is heresy. It is from the devil. And most street corner churches, especially in the fundamental congregations of the world, still teach it. And so there are a million verses that undo replacement theology. But when you don't want to see it, you just don't see it, right? And because of anti-Semitic feelings in the body of Messiah. But anyway, the simple side is these verses are applied spiritually to the church because the church is grafted into and came out of Israel. And so this is why Shimon can quote these. But now remember the rule, and then we'll move on from here. Remember the rule. It's okay to say that you are the apple of God's eye. It's okay to say that you are his treasured possession. It's okay to say that you are a priest. But what is the rule? You say along with Israel. You cannot say instead of Israel. So all of the blessings of Israel can be applied to you that have been grafted into Israel as long as you say, along with Israel, it was theirs first, I got in. It's still Israel's blessings. I just get to participate. See, if you approach it that way, then you are scripturally saying it. If you say, instead of Israel, God's done with Israel now, that's me. God's talking about me. I'm the holy nation now. Now you are a heretic. See, that's heresy. So this is a very big problem in the church still in our modern day, as we approach the end of the age. And what proves even, the newspaper proves that replacement theology is wrong, because everybody knew that Israel could not become a nation again. It was absolutely impossible, and it was impossible. Okay. And so, but the prophet said it would, and so God said it would, and Romans 11 said it would, and so Israel became a nation again, and then Jerusalem and in 67, and now the temple is going to be rebuilt. And so what is God done with Israel? It's impossible, because Israel is there, and that is impossible. According to the Bible, it is there because God said, and God is doing it. Okay, so none of these things would be true. If the church replaced Israel, there would be no Israel today. Okay, so anyway, there are spiritual applications, but they do not negate the natural promises, okay? So you can handle this thing like that. And like the guy in the office said one day, I said, well, yeah, Jesus is Jewish. And he goes, well, he started out that way, but then he became a Catholic. And this guy was teaching this to me, trying to teach us. See, but see what we're up against, you guys? You see what we're up against? I mean, that's crazy. Right? And Peter's the Pope, so see, that's where it starts. Okay. Oh, gosh, help us. Oh, man, you love the Bible, though. And as I told Kaim Richmond, the rabbi, I go, well, theology is not popular because study's not popular because it's avodah. It's work. And he goes, your Hebrew's good. And then he corrected the next thing I said. But yes, the study of the Bible, theology with the hermeneutic in place is not popular in our society today. And it's really going to cost. It's really going to come with a price. Okay, natural Israel is what the Abrahamic covenant is made with. The Abrahamic covenant is an unconditional, eternal covenant, and it was made with natural Israel, natural Jews. Avraham, it became the Yitzhak covenant, and then it became the Yaakov covenant, and then Yaakov had 12 sons, and that became the nation of Israel, and anybody descended from Jacob is an Israelite. Okay, not you unless you're descended from Jacob, all right? A son of Abraham does not make you Jewish. Have to be a son of Yaakov. Okay, and this covenant is now being fulfilled before our very eyes, promising, proving to us that the church has not replaced Israel. Okay, the Abrahamic covenant, full force, rolling along in the midst of all the denial and darkness and anti-Semitism and anti-godness in the world. Anti-godness? Okay. The return, the land, the natural people and the natural land and the natural city and now the natural temple is what is in view now, as the Abrahamic covenant began with the natural and it is ending with the natural. Okay, some verses speak metaphorically, spiritually, some are speaking physically and naturally, and you just don't need to confuse them or get tied up with false theology because of a poor hermeneutic. Okay, so now we are all included in the plan, but the plan started with natural physical Israel, and the plan is going to end the same way. All right, the millennium will fulfill it, as I said. Okay, and in the millennium, the Jews will be the priests to the world, right? And all the anti-Semitic replacement Christians will probably maybe form a union and try to strike against God. I don't know, is that what they'll do? They're going to have to change, I guess. Can you imagine forming a union? We are the replacement union. No, God will bust that union. Okay, now, but what about in the world today, in the body of Messiah today, what about that small percent of people that really does bless Israel, the natural Israel? What about those people today? See? Can you imagine? Because the promise is still there. I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that fail to esteem the plan. It's really the best translation. It's the plan. You need to esteem the plan, or God will come against you strongly. But there are some today. Oh, man. But it begins with the Breed Overhaul, and it ends with the Breed Overhaul, and the promise hasn't changed. So get ready. Get ready for your blessing. Get ready for it. Oh, man, you're going to get blessed. Even if you're politically incorrect and unpopular and everything that the world will try to do against you in the days to come, your blessing will not be altered. It's in part in this life, okay? Some of your blessing will come in this life. But the tremendous, longest, most fulfilling, mind-blowing, over-the-top, impossible to even imagine blessing will be in the millennium, the thousand-year reign. You can't. Don't even try to imagine the blessing for the thousand years. If you want to bless Israel today, some blessing in this life, I imagine. But the big, the best. Don't die. It'll be given to you at the judgment seat of Messiah by Yeshua himself, face to face, in front of all of Israel, in front of all the Gentile church, for 1,000 years. Avraham will be there watching it. Samuel, Shmuel, David, Elijah, Eliyahu, and Peter, and John, and Ari, and Jeremy, and Chaim, and Adam, and Eve, and Noach, and your parents. That's one of the commandments coming up next page. Your parents are important. Your school teachers. Oh, Lord help me. But you can't handle it. See, don't even try to imagine how good it's going to be. That's your future. Because why? Because you're blessing Israel right now. You have decided to follow the plan in the book. That's what's going to happen to you. So much blessing. So thank you all for that. And remember, when we get there, you all share some of your reward with me. Casey and I don't get very much. Mike's fault, I'm sure, but God can't tell me and Mike apart. You guys. Oh, man, I love it. I love it. We're at the mountain. Exodus 19. Now we go from 7 to 25. I got 3 minutes left here. The law is about to be given, and the Lord says he's going to come in a thick cloud. Verse 10 through 12, in the context, it is the Moses covenant. And there is going to be a consecration and a cleansing and a boundary of separation all laid out in this chapter. And then we also see that there is a 3-day period and there is a shofar blowing. And this word is not the Yahweh, the ram's horn, but it is the shofar word in Hebrew. And so it's the big loud one. And y'all need to get one if you don't have one. We have some in the store for you. But verse 16, there is thunder and lightning, a thick cloud, and the call of the shofar, and smoke and fire, and an earthquake. And then the shofar gets louder and louder, and God calls Moshe up on the mountain. So this awesome and terrible and fearful event is the context of the coming of the Moses covenant or the law. I mean, it is a scary-looking deal, right? And all these things. And so there's imagery here of some Brit Hadashah stuff. The cleansing and the washing and the sanctifying are a picture of sanctification or becoming pure. Now, there's no blood in this picture because the blood was in Egypt with the Pesach. We're 7 weeks after that. We're at Shavuot now, right? And so we started with the blood at Passover, and now Passover is justification. So now we come to Shavuot. It is the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, and the context is, as you see it here, sanctification, not justification. The transformation of you becoming like God, being transformed from image to image into his likeness. This is a lifelong process, but it is different than justification. Okay? So this is progressive sanctification, and it is being transformed. So we are at Sinai, and the Moses covenant is also conditional. Remember, it has the word if. you obey. And Israel says, yes, but we know that man cannot keep it, and we cannot keep it. And so what do we know from this? What we know from this is that we need a helper. We need help. Help. Laser. We need help. We need Mashiach. So on the third day, they went up to the mountain. On the third day, resurrection power went up from the grave with an earthquake. Some of these, there's these pictures here. The imagery is so prophetic. The Holy Spirit was given at Shavuot, and this is our helper, right? We have Mashiach, and we have Mashiach as the Ruach HaKodesh indwelling us at Pentecost. The work of the indwelling Holy Spirit is what sanctifies us, and then we will go up, as Moshe did, at the trumpet blast, at the last call of the shofar. We're also going to go up into a cloud, and there's smoke, and there's lightning, right? And probably an earthquake. And so we got some great pictures here, fire and smoke. And of course, you know, I ain't going up because I'm scared of heights, but you all can go. I'll be waiting here for you. Amen. But the church age is in verse 10 and 11 today. The Holy Spirit is washing and cleansing and consecrating us so we will be able to go up and be with him as a pure bride. So we have the blood and we have the Holy Spirit. So we can't keep the law. Israel can't keep the law, but one person did it for us. And we know is Yeshua HaMashiach. And now, what did he say? He said, love God and love people, and you will have fulfilled the Mosaic covenant. Love God and love people. All right? So that is about all the farther I can get. We will come to chapter 20 and the 10. And when it comes to the law, this the 10 here are like the title page, and the start of the 10 is like the title of the book, and it is, I am the Lord, your God. Isn't that something? We come to the greatest morality manifestation from God to man, and it starts with, I am the Lord, your God. I am Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh-Eloheka, your God. It's great stuff, right? And so we have this title page coming here and the cover of the book, I Am the Lord. And it's similar to how the Bible starts. In the beginning, God, and now I am the Lord. It's like if you can get a handle on those two phrases, you will have arrived. In the beginning, God, and I am the Lord, your God. I'm just not God, but I'm your God. So we'll have some fun with the Ten Commandments, and we won't spend a lot of time on them. But it is interesting. I'll finish with this. The Torah here is hundreds of pages, but Yeshua sums it all up in one sentence. Isn't that something? In one sentence. I mean, because it takes all year to read the Torah, and Yeshua says, love God, love people. Love God, love people. Wow. Isn't that something? One sentence. So, amen. We'll start with the 10. I am the Lord your God. Who is the Lord? He's the God of Israel. How do you know he's the God of Israel? Because I am the one that brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So now you can say, the Lord is my God. He brought me out of slavery by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. You're right in there. Yavarekaka Adonai v'yishmereka. Ye'ir Adonai panavaleka v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavaleka v'yoseim leka shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, sar ha-shalom. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah. Amen and amen. Shabbat shalom. Amen.